every morning and hand it to him. So
that's huge. I mean, I can't wait for that to happen in my house.
Well, I still have to wake him up, but
right. Baby steps, though, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're halfway there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great celebration.
Yeah.
And okay, hang on. I just started the recording, so I just want to make sure that when they load this to the website, they're able to kind of start it at a place that makes sense for people joining. So, hey, everybody. Today is Friday, April 12th, and this is the 12 p.m. Eastern Time PSS group. And this week we are talking about championing and celebrating. And right now we're doing some check-ins. Alisa, you want to go next? Check in.
Sure. Sure. I have a 10-year-old, Carlton, fourth grade, and we've been really struggling with school, but this week I'm so proud of him. They're doing standardized tests, and he had an excellent day the first day of testing yesterday. He made it through the whole day without any problems. 2 days before that, he was hiding under the desk, crying, all sorts of stuff. So we're making progress. So I can see the light. And
wow.
I also signed up with a personal trainer, and I've been going a couple times a week.
Woo!
So I think,
Hello.
So, you know, between his successes and then just my getting my butt in gear again.
Yeah.
Pretty good. It's been a good week. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing what a difference it makes when you feel good. Right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Definitely.
Oh, that's cool. What do you think made the difference for him?
You know, I'm not sure. I talked to him. I asked him what had been going on. He's been getting a little better sleep, and I think that that really helped. And also just telling him, look, you know, his IEP states that he can test in a small group, and he didn't realize that because last year when they did standardized tests, he did not want to be in a small group. And once I said to him, you know, you can do this. You can go with a small group and not be in the bigger classroom and feel so overwhelmed. And he said, I'm going to try that and see if it helps, you know. So I think that definitely helped, having a smaller group, less overload with the room, because some of his classmates are very intense as well, and there's only three others in with him in the testing versus the 22 in his classroom. So I think that really helped. And the support from the teachers and them checking in and letting me know, you know, what's going on with him, and, you know, just trying to let him be a kid more and not be so stressed out.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome. That's a lot. I mean,
yeah, I know, right? 2 weeks ago, I was
that's
like,
awesome.
All right, put me
wow,
you know,
what a change.
Put me away. I know. It's a big change.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you. Melanie, you've joined us too. What's going on?
Yeah. So my celebration is we got Margaret into the social skills group at school. I know it's taken about a year all told since this idea first came up, but she went for the first time earlier this week and reported positive things.
Yay. That's phenomenal. Very cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Do I have a celebration? I'm celebrating that today is my daughter's senior prom.
Wow. What
that's
a
big
my second oldest. So we've been through prom once before. And they only, at the schools they go to, only the seniors go to prom. And so, yeah, it's kind of like a big deal, which is cool. But, you know, we're sort of in that kind of beginning of the senior year end. And so far, I'm handling pretty well. I think I'm celebrating that more than anything. Okay, let's go back around and take AIM really quickly. And for those of you who may not be that used to taking AIM, what we're taking AIM on is sort of the change that we want to see. And so I know this gets a little bit vague, so I'm going to try to do a better job of explaining it this time. But essentially, we're taking AIM on a challenge or an issue or a problem that has been either bugging you for the past hour or for today, or maybe it's something that's been going on for a while, and it could be a challenge or an area of opportunity that is more directed towards you and the way you handle things, your emotions or responses, things like that. It could be something very specific to the child that brought you to us. It could be, you know, like morning routine, or it could be, you know, after school homework. Those are pretty broad things to take aim on. So if that's kind of what you feel is the area that you want to focus on, we'll probably kind of talk around that a little bit and see if we can't dig down on it just a tad and come up with something that might be a little more specific just so we can set ourselves up for success. But you're taking aim on, again, kind of whatever problem or challenge or issue is top of mind. Does not have to be related to the topic today, which is celebrating and championing, but it can be. So take about, you know, 20 seconds or so, and then chime in when you're ready to take aim.
Melanie here. I want to take aim on something for my older kid who is neurotypical but dealing with some sticky social wickets at school.
Ooh.
And I want to make sure that I'm being skilled in how I approach conversations about this with her because she would rather not discuss it.
Okay.
But it's, I mean, it's, there's one person in a romance and one person struggling with suicidal ideation. And
oh my gosh.
And yeah. There are other people who are teasing the people in the romance. And, you know, she's got some friends who are hurt and she's in the position of at times appearing to be in the group that's hurting more than helping, and she does not want to talk about any of this.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean,
it is.
So that, okay. We've had, I mean, I have to, like, take my coach hat off just for a second, if that's okay. It has
Please
been
do.
A crazy month in our community, and I know this is happening everywhere, not just in our community, but we've had multiple incidents of young teenagers who tried to kill themselves. And it's been really yucky. So I have very little objectivity when it comes to this issue.
Fair enough. I don't either.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we still need to talk about it for sure. But of course the first thing I'm gonna ask you is the child that is having, you know, suicidal ideation safe?
I believe so. My daughter was one of the first two to break confidentiality, and I had the unpleasant task of informing the girl's parents that they needed to have a serious talk with their daughter as soon as they could get to her.
Okay, good. No, absolutely. That was
and
absolutely 100%
so
the right thing
we are networking around the family in question, and I've been feeding resources to the mom simply because I'm already really hooked in with the mental health community in a way that she's not.
Sure. Yeah. No, thank God, right? I mean, thank
you. Yeah.
A wonderful way to utilize your connections and your experience to help others.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is now a two-week-old situation, but there's lots of distressed parents for lots of different reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, It's hard for the kids who are, you know, they are not yet skilled in navigating all of
no.
this.
Right.
But, you know, and they need to be skilled and supported and also, you know, still be allowed to be kids and make mistakes and not know what to do. And yet, you know, it's really hard. So I've kind of been, you know, saying to my older kid, hey, I don't have any suggestions, but I think a really good thing would be is if you could talk to some other adults just so that they can see that you're struggling with this and aren't making assumptions about what you are and aren't doing.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's good. You mean with respect to the suicidal thoughts?
With respect to the friend who's being teased about her romantic relationship.
Okay.
So that she doesn't alienate that long-term friendship in the process.
Yeah. And they're how old again? They're not too
They're 13.
Old.
They're seventh graders.
Yeah. Okay. Which, you know, that's when it starts. So.
Yeah. And it broke out with a vengeance.
I bet. Yeah. No, I remember.
Yeah. And it,
okay,
and it turns out this all went down at a birth. This all start. Well, things intensified at a birthday party in my house.
Oh, fun.
Back at the beginning of March. So.
Okay. So
I feel some responsibility.
Stop right there. Okay, that's fair. And that's probably playing into kind of what you want to take aim on, if I'm reading you correctly.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And in keeping with our theme for today, I'm sure that you championed and celebrated your daughter for being willing and brave enough to break confidentiality to make sure that her friend was safe.
Yeah.
Because that's huge.
That was such a mature decision on her part, although she started with, I wish I'd told you 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's okay. She did. That's all that matters. And everyone was still safe, thank God.
Everyone's still safe, thank God. That's the thing that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, without a doubt. Wow. I'm sorry you guys are going through that. It's like the past 6 weeks have been crazy.
Something in the water or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we can go off on a whole other tangent about what's causing all of our teenagers to be suicidal at the moment. But that is a conversation for another day. All right, ladies, if you haven't taken AIM yet, let's jump in and do some AIM taking since we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Alisa?
This is Alisa. Right. You know, one thing that we really struggle with is homework. That's a big one. And just trying to not stress my child out. I've worked with the guidance counselor a little bit, and his teachers, but it's still like major argument time when it's time for homework in our household. And I would really like to get to the point where I'm not losing my patience like I have to. And, you know, my husband's losing his patience, and suddenly there's just a screaming match, and my son's laying on the ground, and, you know, it's just, you know, because he's just feeling so defeated and stressed out. And this month, they did listen, and they have, you know, kind of reduce the amount of homework. However, just getting him to read for 30 minutes is unbelievable. And I'm trying to decide whether I need to look at medicating him longer. In the afternoon, we have a booster that we could give him, but I'm like torn because then it kind of cuts into when he eats because he doesn't eat well during the day.
Right.
So I'm just kind of trying, I'm like, how can I do this? And I know I need to like focus on this and how to make it a less stressful situation, less stressful for him and less stressful for me. Cause I'm internalizing a lot of it. You know, I'm just like, you know, and that's not good. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, I get it. And so, and remind me, cause I know we've talked about this briefly before. Any time of day, any type of homework, does it seem better or worse depending on if it's after school or in the evening or if it's a particular subject in school?
It's mainly after school. It's the after school routine, A. You know, I mean, there are days where he doesn't get home until close to 5 o'clock because he's got other things like a chess club or something that he's doing.
Uh-huh.
And it's mainly the reading and writing that's the hardest. And right now he's not going to have to worry about math for a little while, which is great. Though he loves math, but it's taking one thing off the plate. So we don't have to have quite as much stress because they're about to come up on spring break. They've done the standardized testing. So it's a little reduced, but at the same point, you know, and it is definitely just the homework and just bringing that up and just being like, okay, let's switch gears here. And like, you know, we've gone outside, we've played, you know, we come back inside, we eat, and then we do homework. That's kind of our routine. But lately it's been, I can't do it. I'm too tired. And it just turns into this whole thing. And my husband is not patient at all, doesn't want to hear it. And I'm losing my patience, you know, and just, so all of us are cranky. You know.
Got it. And it's the end of the school year almost. And question. What would happen if, you know, he said he was tired. What would happen if you said, all right, go to bed. We'll do this in the morning.
Well, I've tried that a couple times. And then in the morning, I can't wake him up.
Because he won't wake up. And I'm like, come on, buddy.
We got to do that homework. It's time to do that homework. And he is like out to the world. So we have tried that a couple times, and it was unsuccessful so far.
Okay.
I don't know that that's going to be a completely unsuccessful thing, but it has been so far. We haven't figured out how to make him, you know, motivated.
Yeah.
Sure.
So he gets up in the morning. He doesn't do the homework. He goes to school. Homework's not done. What happens then?
You know, the thing is, if it's something like reading, it's a cumulative assignment. It's for the month, basically. He has X number of days that he has to read for 30 minutes. So he doesn't have any direct consequences if he's not doing that, except at home, when he comes home, there's no iPad, there's no YouTube on the television or anything like that until he does his homework. And this is what we've been battling with. And like last night, he said at 9:30 he was going to start his homework. And then he took his iPad and he was like, okay, I'm taking my iPad. And, you know, he's off to go read and then use his iPad. And I'm like, no, it's 9:30 at night. You know, you can have the iPad in the morning, but we can't have it tonight, you know. And that, of course, set him off. And then he didn't want to do his homework. And he's rolling on the ground. And, you know, the no. It's the no that's just like the explosion. Yeah.
Right. So is it more about prioritization? Is it about, because there's a lot there. There's like a lot that we can work with. So I just want to make sure that we're targeting an area that's going to make a difference, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a hard time understanding it all, to be honest. I'm like,
okay. So can it be about your ability or your willingness or your comfort level with letting them fail? Is that part of it?
Yeah, you know, that's been something that, you know, this past week there was an assignment on Tuesday that was due. And we argued and argued. And finally at 10 o'clock, I looked at him and I said, you're too tired. Go to bed. And I said, you know, you're going to have to talk to your teacher and just accept that this is A, either going to be late or B, be undone. And to be perfectly honest, he's not going to fail fourth grade because he doesn't finish this assignment. So he didn't finish
it.
So
it's not going to impact his ability to go to college. Yeah.
Oh, well, exactly. It's fourth grade. You know, I mean, he's had
A's
and B's pretty much all the way through, except for his ELA stuff, which is a C right now. But, you know, it's just because he has incomplete assignments and he got an incomplete. He was mad and upset with himself. And that's what it turns into then, is that he's stupid. And after Tuesday and not getting stuff done and then, you know, not telling the teachers the truth. He said that he had finished it, turned in his notebook, and they looked at it and said, yeah, you didn't finish it. And he was very upset with himself, and he said, I'm stupid. I can't do anything right. I want to kill myself. I was like, this is my time. You know, I'm like, okay, you know, like, how do you – I know it's a stress thing, and I talked to the guidance counselor, told her what was going on. She checked in with him.
Sure.
He's not suicidal. He's just stressed. So that's what it just, you know, I have to just kind of, part of me says back off and don't push. My husband, of course, says, hey, you know, Carlton, we're not going to remind you about your homework anymore ever. I'm like, okay, this is not a good solution, you know, like.
All or nothing.
It's black, white, all or nothing. It's all the time.
Right.
And it's so. It makes it very difficult, and as soon as he says something like that, Carlton's melting down, and suddenly I'm just...
Of course. Yeah.
No,
I'm going to stop you right there, because I want to make sure we get a chance for Annette to take aim, but if you could just bottom line it for me, because I know you've got a lot going on, and I can feel your stress and your pain as we're going through this, and I know it's, like, confusing, and you're like, where do I even start? If you could just pick, just bottom line, one area just for the purposes of the next 30 minutes, and then we can work with that would be awesome. We're not letting go of the other stuff, and we're not saying it's not important.
Right.
We just need to pick one specific area to work on, one change that you can see.
Well, I would just love to just at least get it started, you know, without an argument. That's honestly just get started, not have him trying to put it off into the next year, you know, just get him to buckle down a little bit, and whether that means me medicating more or not, that's the part where I'm like really torn, because I feel like, you know, he probably could use
the
medication.
Right.
Yeah,
we're not
that's
sure.
The big
we're
one.
Not sure what it is that's preventing him from getting started, and we're not sure what it is that will help him get started. So I think that's great.
Right.
That's a change you want to see, and that we can absolutely work with that, because that's detective work. Perfect.
Great.
Right. And Annette, I know that your son is older.
Yeah.
And this is an all ages call, so similarities.
So similar, and I found out even with really young kids, similar stuff all the way through. But Brian, I have some similar struggles with homework. He's not melting down, but it's more, and he's more alone than he has been in the past because I started working. So he'll come home, mm-hmm. he'll take a break. He has zero idea about time lapse. You know, mm-hmm. I'm taking a short break, which ends up being
hours
long.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I might remind him that he needs to get to work, and then he's hungry and remembers that he has to go to the bathroom and whatever else. So I'm trying not to engage in helicopter, but what ends up happening is he tends to realize similarly, oh, hey, I need to get some homework done. Or he says he's doing it and, you know, he's not really being very effective. So he realizes that he needs to get it done. And then around 10 o'clock at night, he'll come in and eat a lot, which keeps him awake, either doing his homework or watching videos or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he's tired for the next day. So for me, you know, we've had quite a few conversations about the, you know, videos and just gaming or whatever, because he tends to hyper-focus on that. And
sure.
Our kids do. And I... Yeah. So he gets distracted and, you know, I've tried to talk to him about it a lot. It's sort of one of our main, you know, discussion areas, which, you know, what I'm doing isn't working. So I guess if I were to try to take aim on the relationship between, you know, him getting distracted with what he's doing online, like video games and doing his homework, it would be to, try to figure out ways to provide some sort of affirmation when he is able to shift and point it out, you know, at that time. Because his grades are actually pretty good. It's just, you know, I'm kind of in, since he's older, since he's a sophomore, we're really, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I've got all of these life skills and things that he needs to, to become independent and take an initiative and learn in the next year. In the next year or two, because, you know, so far he doesn't want to do a gap year. And I'm like, I don't know,
all right.
Brian. Yeah.
Today we're a sophomore. So. We're staying in today.
Well, but I mean, these little steps, if I don't do anything, you know, I tried to tell him, mommy's not going to be there to remind you to do your homework in college. So,
right. But he's still a sophomore. So
we've
got a couple of years yet. And remember that the ADHD brain is 3 to 5 years behind their same age peers in one or two, sometimes three major developmental areas, not necessarily intellectually or academically, but developmentally.
You may still
have to be reminding him to do homework in college.
Homework in college. Oh my gosh.
I'm not saying that's what he's going to need, but I'm saying it's possible.
Yeah, it is possible, actually.
I mean,
so
hopefully not, but I'd rather know that that's a possibility than get there and be upset.
Yeah.
And find out that that's a possibility then.
Yeah, I guess I should, prep myself for changing that expectation. But I suppose what I'm saying is I need to take aim on this whole video game conversation in a different way. I need to sort of change my approach instead of just,
okay,
hey, bud, you know, this isn't good for you and you're getting distracted. Okay. And there's a lot of other things you could be doing besides, you know, because his homework time, basically, it'll eat up the whole day. And he has other things that he can be doing, you know, like clubs, and he's on a rugby team that he's had to skip practice because he didn't manage his time properly, and then he was stressed. And,
okay, you know, so it is the gaming is impacting his available time to get homework done. It's impacting his ability to socialize. It's impacting other areas. Is that right? Okay, so the conversation, is it about maybe also prioritization, or is it about limiting the time, or helping him understand the time? Well, he definitely needs to limit it, but what I end up with a kid in high school is, unless I'm standing over him, is he needs a computer to do his homework. So what happens is he thinks he's doing his homework, but then, hey, let me go look at this tab on my computer about this. I mean, he's not doing anything bad, but he actually watches some nice videos, educational videos, but it's like, yeah, but that's not what you're trying to get done. So it's just trying to, I'd prefer if he got his homework done first instead of, you know, relaxing for 3 hours. He calls it relaxing, but so I guess it's prioritization. It's both,
but if he relaxed for 3 hours and he got his homework done and he, you know, and he was in bed by whatever your, you know, reasonable teenage bedtime is, that would be okay with you. Is that right?
Well, I'd like him. That's an interesting question. I know it's not a trick question. I mean, because he's not failing, you know, his grades are actually good. It's that he doesn't allow for it. It does impact other areas of his life. So there's no room for anything else besides, I'm doing homework all day and, you know. Right. I mean, I think it's his way of coping with the fact that he probably doesn't have a very, he struggles socially. So, but he doesn't realize that when he only does these two things, he's not making himself available, you know, because he's part of a robotics club, but he wasn't very, you know, total nerds that he would, it's like his people, but he's not engaging with his people because he's isolating himself through just doing homework and video games. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
It does. There's just a lot there, right? I mean, because we've kind of shifted away from prioritization and homework to socialization and social skills. And it's all enmeshed, right? Sometimes it's really hard to kind of parse out what it is that we're trying to take aim on because it feels like it's all one big thing. And sometimes, or more often than not, it's really about how we view the thing. I can't tell you how many summers I would come home and just be like, oh my gosh, you guys have been on video games all day. You're rotting your brain, you know, and just being really upset. And then I read a book about the different ways that people play. And I mean, to our kids, video games are the equivalent, and I mean, not really, but sort of the equivalent of, you know, going outside and playing until dark or until the streetlights come on. That's what their peers are doing for the most part. It's not the way that we grew up, and it may not be the healthiest, but that is for the most part what our kids' peers are doing, and it's a way to play, and it's a way to relax for them, a way to reset their brains. And just because I don't like it and I don't think it's healthy doesn't mean that it's not okay for the most part. And I know that you're probably feeling resistant to that as I'm saying it, but that was kind of an eye-opener for me. And I'm not saying that that makes it okay, what's going on right now. I'm just saying that there's other ways to view it. And a lot of times I know that if I look at the way I'm viewing it, if I can find a different way to approach that situation, maybe even just from a neutral space, it makes it easier for me to be more empathetic, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you're not being empathetic. I was just kind of throwing that out there for a second. All right. So let's transition real quick over to the topic for the day, which is championing and celebrating, which who doesn't like to celebrate, right? And we had some awesome celebrations at the beginning of each call. And I love celebrating because our kids, you know, and really us too as parents, we hear a lot of negative stuff every day from a lot of different people. And some of it's negative stuff that we tell ourselves. So anytime that we can shift that perspective and look for something fabulous that's going on around us, that's only going to do good things for us and for our kids. You guys probably already know that it takes, I've seen three different numbers. I've seen 6, 8, and 11 positive comments. So 6,
positive comments, 8 positive comments, or 11 positive comments to offset the impact of one negative comment. And I don't know about you guys, but if I were to try to keep track of that on a daily basis, I think I would feel crushed under the weight of trying to hit that number. So it's a lot, right? I mean, our kids do. They hear a lot of negative things. And so the more areas and ways that we can find opportunities to catch them being good or to celebrate them, champion them, the much better off they're going to be from a self-esteem point of view. And better we're going to feel as well, because there's just nothing like negativity. It just breeds more negativity. And you guys have been there. It just feels like this giant heavy coat on you in summer, just kind of dragging you down. But when we're focusing on the positive and looking for good things, and I know it sounds like rainbows and unicorns, but it really does work. And, you know, I remember when my kids were younger and we'd go to church on Sunday, and particularly my now 15-year-old, you know, we'd get about 10, 15, 20 minutes in, and one of us would have to leave church and walk around outside or walk around the vestibule or whatever, just walk around with them until Mass was over, because he just couldn't sit that long. And someone said, yeah, but look, last week he only lasted 15 minutes, and this week he lasted 20 minutes. And I was like, you're right. And so from then on, we were able to celebrate the fact that, oh, this week he lasted 25 minutes. Not that we had to leave, you know, 35 minutes early because he couldn't sit there anymore, but we celebrated the fact that he made it for 25 minutes. And once we made that shift in perspective, it made it a lot easier to catch our kids being good. You know, my daughter, I think I've told some of you the story before. My daughter wasn't diagnosed with ADHD until she was a freshman in high school. And, you know, she, at that time, she was driving herself to school every day. You know, she was doing her homework, turning it in, doing, I mean, a lot of things that we struggle with getting our younger sons with ADHD to do. And one day she said, you know, you guys just jump up and down and fall all over yourselves if Theo remembers to turn in his English assignment. And yet I turn my homework in almost every day of the week, and I have ever since kindergarten. And you guys don't ever celebrate me for that. But I was like, you are absolutely right. We definitely need to catch you being good there. Because that's, I mean, you guys know how hard our kids work every day. So the fact that she was doing all of those things and we weren't acknowledging how awesome that was a real affront to her, you know, and it's an area of opportunity for us and something that we've been working really hard over the past 4 years to make up for. So what's coming up for you guys? What are some ways that you've been able to champion your kids, or maybe some areas that you're seeing that you can recognize that your kids are doing a great job that you can start pointing out?
Well, this is Alisa. My son does taekwondo, and he's really into competing in tournaments right now. And I'm just proud of him because he was ready to give up taekwondo a few months ago. So every time we make it, I need to let him know he's doing a good job, and I haven't been doing that. But I think he needs to hear that just by showing up, honestly, it's a, you know, by showing up, participating, and doing something that he loves, that he deserves some, you know, celebration for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah.
This is Annette. So Brian's been, I guess I can celebrate the fact that I've had a few conversations with him, and he's actually kind of engaged, and I can tell that he's trying to be more in tune with thinking about things than just having me sort of push whatever agenda or, you know, it's all me thinking about stuff. Like the other night he said, I just remembered I'm eating after 10, and I probably, because we agreed, probably not a good idea. There have just been a few situations, like I showed him the graph of how Concerta goes through the body and how maybe that's impacting him being able to have attention in the afternoons for, you know, the whole video game / homework, and that maybe we need to give him a booster in the afternoon of fast acting. So he's been more receptive to discussing these things and talking through them instead of just sitting there and saying, I don't know. So that's a good thing. I need to let him know that I appreciate that he's engaged and thinking about
things. Yeah, that's great. No, I'm glad you recognize that because it makes it easier for us if our kids are becoming more self-aware.
Yeah.
They can have conversations with us and, you know, they know for, you know, how they feel or how they feel on different medications or different strengths, and they can provide feedback that, you know, all we could get when they were little was maybe violence or aggression or meltdown, you know, to try to figure out how it was working or not. So that's huge. In particular, our teenagers, I mean, it's that tough balance, right, of being their parent and yet still honoring the fact that they're trying to grow up. You know, they're trying to be adults and be involved in the decisions about their lives while we know that they're not yet. And it's kind of a fine line to walk even with neurotypical teenagers. So, I say, I don't know, you know, every family is different, every kid is different, you know your kid better than anyone else. And so, you know, just err on the side of including your child whenever possible or whatever fits the way that you think your child needs to be honored. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Melanie, what are you thinking?
First, I'm thinking I have to get off mute.
Okay.
And secondly, I'm noticing that this is a day where I'm feeling kind of okay around celebrating other people, but I'm having a hard time doing that to myself and just looking at that as an indicator that, you know, time to step up to self-care in some way.
Mm. Excellent that you recognize that.
Yeah. And I know it's like, when I can still praise other people and I'm having a hard time with myself, that's like kind of step one. And then step two, which is more serious, is when I'm like, I can't pull it out of the bag even for somebody else. Then we have to, escalate. But yeah, I'm noticing struggle today. I'll just say that.
What do you think's behind that, or do you want to play with that, or do you want to just leave it?
No, I don't really feel the need to play with that at the moment. But if you have a minute at the end, at the top of the hour,
Of course. Okay. The championing and celebrating, always a good thing. So if we're circling back to what we were taking aim on, so Elisa, when we're thinking about the meltdowns and the possibility about needing to increase medication or, you know, just trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. Is there something, where do you want to start with that, I guess? It sounds like there's detective work to be done.
Yeah. I don't know. I know there's somewhere to start. I just don't know where it is right now. I guess I can talk to him about these things because he knows, like, he is becoming more of his own advocate in some ways because he's able to speak up and say, hey, you know, my medicine wears off at X time. And, you know, if that's happening at 2:00, by the time he gets home at 3:30, he's already had some time, you know, where he's off his meds. And, you know, like, I just want to reapproach the idea of giving him the afternoon meds because I tried it for a little while last year and then he got really angry and he didn't want to do it and he said it wasn't helping and so I just kind of left it. But now this year it's more challenging. Homework, they're, you know, hey, we're getting ready for fifth grade. I'm like, why are we doing that now?
Yeah,
but I'm not
going
to, you know, argue too much. So, but yeah, so maybe talking it over with him and just saying, hey, you know, I've noticed that it's hard for you to get started, you know, I've noticed thing, that's big. It would be done, you respond so much better instead of like, you're acting like an idiot, you know, you're not acting your age. And I constantly have to go back to that. I'm so glad that you mentioned the two things about the age being, you know, they're social, emotional age is different, right? And then also the number of compliments or praise to kind of sort of equalize out all the negative stuff. And that is
that those are two really important things that I'm going to hear over and over again at my house this week, because I constantly forget that. And he does hear, no, 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 stop it, you can't, no, all day long. And he very, very infrequently hears anything else. So I think I think just helping empower him in this and see if he can help me understand, you know, would this be a help for you? And then, you know, I will probably have to go in and give it to him at first because he doesn't like the nurse doing it. And I'm okay with that. I can take a little bit of time in the afternoon and go in at like 2:30 and go give him his meds and like let him finish the day, you know. But I feel pretty strongly that we have to do something, and I'm hoping that he's on board with it. If he's not, that's the part where I'm like, well, what do I do if he says no? I don't want to.
Sure.
Like, well, mommy says so.
Yeah.
You know, what do I do then? That's where I've got to kind of figure my plan B, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of ways to get creative around that if it gets to that. You know, you can do a therapeutic trial. You guys can sit down and say, what are the parameters that are going to let us know if it's working or not? You know, if we try it for 10 days and you get angry 9 out of 10 days, then we will determine that, you know, or whatever you guys come up with.
Right.
Yeah. Those are all great, great examples and great ideas. Remind me,
when
you guys tried the afternoon med before, was it a short acting or was it a long acting?
It was the short acting. Yeah, he takes the long acting all day. And I'm just finding that it's just wearing off so early. And I don't want to go up on that dosage because I really feel strongly that we've gone as far as I want to at this point. So that's where it's like, okay, the short acting, you know, it would be basically like a 2.5 milligram supplement to what he's taking now.
Right.
So it's not much, you know, and it may not even make a difference at 2.5. We may have to go higher than that. But that's where the doctor said, start there and see what you can get out of that.
And just if
homework, you know, just for homework.
Only for homework. Yeah, I know. Only during the school year, right?
Yeah, that's it. I know. I don't want to do it in the summer. Yeah.
This is my own just like 2 cents. This is Jeremy talking, not necessarily the coach of this call talking. We have tried that has worked for us and that I like to share with people because most people don't think of things this way. And we only did because our doctor suggested it, but almost everyone in my family is a rapid metabolizer. And so we take 2 long-acting doses every day. So one in the morning, like a long-acting Vyvanse or long-acting, you know, Concerta or whatever type works best for us. And then we take the exact same dose, usually between like noon or 3 in the afternoon. And it just carries you through till the evening. So it's not that short-acting kind of like, immediate rush that kind of chews through your system even quicker than the long acting, and it's the exact same amount that you're taking in the morning. So it's not like you're doubling your dose, you're taking the same amount of medicine twice. And it's been really, really effective. It also, I mean, it helps with sleep. I've noticed that my kids go to sleep better when they're on a long acting dose in the afternoon instead of a short acting dose.
Interesting.
It really has helped across all parameters. It may not work for your kid, and it probably doesn't work for everyone. But 2 long-acting doses, and insurance has covered it for us for, you know, for a long time without any pushback at all. So it's just something to consider if you step aside medication or increasing the medication is the way to go.
Well, I know
Melanie
my brother
here.
Who is
I'll jump in
much
and say
older,
that that's worked for me, too.
So. Oh, good.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. That's This is all really good information. Thanks.
Yeah, of course. Of course. All right, so Annette, what's coming up for you in terms of taking on doing homework?
Well, kind of similar. Some interesting information on the medication. I'll have to look into that as well. But so I have 3 ideas or 3 action items. I'll probably steal the I've noticed that it's hard for you to get started and talk to him about that, sort of open the topic and for him to. In our case, we haven't really done the booster yet, so we've always had it, but we haven't really utilized it. So I'll talk to him about his thoughts on doing that, and then hopefully he'll say yes. And then action 2 is I think I'm going to come home after dropping him off at school and put out a note with a praise for something in the morning that went well. A snack, a snack idea because I'm trying to get him to eat healthier snacks. And if I put them in Ziplocs or some other container, he'll actually do it instead of just going for the carbs.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. Like, you bring him a bag of carrots, and if I take the carrots out and, like, or if I, you know, cut the strawberries up or whatever and put them in separate containers, they're more likely to eat them, which is so strange.
No,
it's the same thing.
Rot.
I mean,
it'll all rot in the fridge, but if I stick it into a stupid Ziploc, he's actually doing it. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
So I'll write, you know, kind of remind him kind of in terms of the whole expectations. Maybe I'm expecting too much of him. So have a note that says, okay, here's your snack idea. And then I think I'll say, you know, here's the, you know, one dose of the medication if you want to take it. And that way when I get, then action three is when I get home from work, I'll check in and hopefully he's started. And that way I can praise him for something, and it'll also be kind of hopefully a gentle reminder for him to get going if he hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Can I encourage you to pick one of those three? Because I want to set you up
for
success. And then just, I mean, from a realistic perspective, you know, all three every day, maybe a stretch, you know, or maybe one or two. Could you choose one or two and just do those between now and 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, so I think action one and two then, because otherwise I kind of have to have the conversation with him about the medication, and it's not going to happen unless I don't want to. It's not going to happen unless I put the dose out with a note. So because we haven't really covered that yet. Right now, I only have like a week's worth of doses where he's, you know, remembering, supposedly, I shouldn't say supposedly, he's remembering to take the Concerta in the morning, right? But I don't have the fast acting out for him to take whenever he wants. So so anyway, those
lots of areas of opportunity, right? Lots of investigation and detective work to try, it sounds like. To kind of figure out exactly what it is that's going to make the difference.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys like all transitioned into like checking out without us even formally moving there, which is awesome. So, Melanie, I think you're the only one left, but let me just read the questions again real quick in case anybody wants to chime in on one that they may have missed. But I think I heard a really solid checkout from both of you already. So the questions that we ask at the end of every session are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity, my aha, my takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? And Annette and Melissa, I feel like I heard all of those from both of you there at the end. Did I miss any, or is there anything that you want to chime in on that we may not have touched on in the past couple minutes?
No, I'm good, Elisa. I'm good.
Awesome. Annette?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you.
You're good. Okay, sure. Sorry. All right, Melanie, you're up. Do you want to check out?
So I have an unusual opportunity this weekend to spend a lot of time with my older daughter because I'm taking her to a friend's bat mitzvah. So my goal is to spend the weekend with her talking about basically light subjects and just kind of working on that trust and intimacy relationship thing, being non-threatening and hoping that just time, she'll relax and maybe bring it up herself.
Okay. Good. I like that.
Because I think we've had a few too many heavy conversations lately.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I think that's an excellent plan. Wonderful. All right, ladies. Let's see. Thank you all for being here today and for being so open and vulnerable and being willing to work hard and, you know, share pieces of your life with me. I appreciate it. And I hope everyone has a great weekend. And we'll talk in a couple weeks. And if you have any questions between now and then, don't hesitate to call, email me, text me. My email address is Jeremy, just like the boy's name, Jeremy, at impactadhd.com. Otherwise, have a fabulous, fun-filled weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Take care. Okay. Bye. Bye. All right, Miss Melanie, hang on. Let me stop the recording.